Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
And you're listening to Fiber Talk, that twice weekly podcast for people who... Oh, that's right. We have the new upper scale for people who create fine art with needle and thread.
Yes. I'm glad you remembered because I don't have a memory these days.
Yeah, I was almost going to go with the stab ground cloth with needles, but then I remembered we went highbrow. So
I guess it depends on your mood. You know, if you've had like a bad day, then I'm in favor of the stabbing.
Well, that's why I was going to go with the stabbing, because my day has been pretty crappy so far. So, but
well, then stab at will.
No. We went highbrow. So I'm sticking to it. Create fine art with needle and thread. Mm-hmm. Our guest. Oh, and I forgot to ask how to practice the name here. Janine Cheney. Did I get that right?
Almost. It's Cheney.
Cheney. Janine Cheney. Yes. See, for all you rookies out there, you know, us professionals normally ask ahead of time how to pronounce the name so you get it right, and then you sound like you really have your act together, but no.
Why would we do that?
Yeah, it does seem silly, doesn't it?
Certainly not as much fun.
Okay, so Janine, Acorns and Threads Needlework Shop in Portland, Oregon, tripped over you listening to Michelle Garrett and Linda Joe, I don't know her last name, listening to their Floss Tube videos, and it seems like if they're not at home, they're at your store. So...
really has been, man. They kind of tripped over me and I tripped over them, and it's been lots and lots of fun to do Floss Tube and to just have them and everybody in the store. It's a fun store.
Yes. Well, that's what caught my attention, was you seem to have an awful lot going on in that store. It looks like a blast.
It is pretty much a blast. That's the whole fun of cross stitch. And I think that's been the fun of Floss Tube too. Is bringing people together.
Yeah. Now you do a store, or at least in my perception, limited that it is, a store the way I really think people need to do it today. You have just an awful lot of activity. You have groups coming in all the time. Mm-hmm. Talk about how you got started with your store. And you've been around, was it, how many years? 23 years. That's impressive. How'd you get started?
Well, the store's been around 23 years. I'm not the original owner. I bought it from Roz Vansel. She started this store in 1996 and created it from scratch. She decided she'd worked in stores before. She was going to own a store. She was going to do something fun that she'd always wanted to do. And I didn't buy the shop until 2005. My previous life was as an engineer, and I did the stitching for fun. So I had worked for Roz one Saturday a month and got to talking, and I was getting more frustrated with the engineering, and she was, I liked the engineering.
I can understand that.
But it was mostly, if I wanted to do it, I had to travel, and I liked the travel, but I was kind of done with that. I wanted a base and a home and friends and activities. So
hotel rooms and restaurants gets old, yes.
They do get old. I got to really travel well. I did a lot of great places, but it does. It gets old, and not having your stitching. I got to see some other shops, but not having my stitching was kind of annoying. And so as we started talking, I'm like, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can buy the shop and I can run it. And that was January of 2005. So we've been around since then.
Are you still in the same location?
Yeah, still in the same location. It's a great spot. It's a little tricky to find the first time because we're in what looks like an office, but well, it is an office building. And we're down a little, parking lot's a little down from the main road. But once you find us, there's plenty of parking. We do lots of things here, and it's a great location. So I don't expect to move. I keep threatening to expand, but there's people on either side of me and above me. So that's good, would make it difficult moving them out.
Well, I don't know. You with the right help, you could move them out.
Yeah, for one point, I think the upstairs was open, and I was going to knock a hole in the ceiling and put in spiral stairs.
Mm.
But that didn't work out.
Yeah, we can. I think we can get the right people together to help you. Yeah.
Gary's pretty an sure. enabler, if that's not clear yet.
Excellent. I have been called an evil enabler before, so I think we'll get along.
So was it, when you bought it, was it primarily a cross-stitch shop?
Yes, it's always been primarily a cross-stitch. It's still primarily cross-stitch. I've expanded counted canvas. We've always had a little bit of embroidery, a little bit of hardanger. We don't do needlepoint. I don't do the hand-painted canvases. But we've done counted work because that kind of fits right in with the cross stitch, just blank canvas and patterns and threads, lots and lots of threads.
Yeah, I can tell from the pictures of the stores, you do not lack for thread.
No, and yet it still seems there are threads that we don't carry. We're not that biggest shop. I can't carry everything, but man, I try.
Isn't that, it always seems to me that's the toughest part of having a store is the threads. And I'm sure it's, you know, every day someone comes in and wants a thread or a color that you just don't have. It must be a constant battle.
They do, but then the good part is you can substitute pretty much anything for anything. So just because you're looking for X thread, tell me what color it is, or show me a picture of where it's used, and I'll pull you something else. Because you just can't carry everything. And we just substitute something else.
What a luxury. See, I don't have a local shop, so that just the idea of having someone that has that skill and that familiarity with threads, just what I would do for that. That would be pretty amazing.
It's hard when you don't have a shop. I've been fortunate, well, especially since I moved to Portland, to always have Acorns and Threads here. And you just have the ability to go to the wall or to a drawer and say, all right, what do you have? Well, you don't have that. Let's find something else. It's part of the fun of pulling threads and trying to figure out what kind of fabric you're going to put it on. It does really help to have a local shop, and we do it by email and by phone as well. I've done color consults over the phone.
There's a nice challenge.
Yeah.
Someone will say they want, they're doing a pattern. If I can pull up the picture, that's great. Do you like the picture? Do you like this? Do you want that? I actually did my favorite color consult was by phone, and someone called and said, I'm doing a squid, and I need you to send me a color of squid, and it needs to be silk. Okay. We sent her two, and she used them both. So we'll take all kinds of challenges.
Is that the fun part of running a store? Is that helping people get the colors and the threads for a project? Is that the highlight of the day when you get to do that?
It is. It really is. Someone comes in and wants to start a project or has a bunch of projects they want to start kit up because they're going to go on vacation or whatever. It's the people part of it that's the fun part. The paperwork part of it is not so much the fun part. And there's still a ton of paperwork to do in this electronic day and age. But the fun part is the people. That's why you do it.
Yeah, that's how many people complain about. If I could just get the paperwork and the business part of it to a minimum. Yeah, I could really enjoy owning a store.
I know. Well, as a small business owner, the previous owner told me as we were talking about that as a small business owner, you really only work half time. You get to decide what 12 hours of every 24 that you work. And really, you work 12 out of 24, but I get to pick which 12, and they don't have to be continuous.
That's the thing with being the boss. You know, sometimes people have this idea that because you're in and out, you know, that you're somehow flitting around doing nothing. And it's really so not true.
It's not true. I try very hard to stitch several times a week. But it's sometimes a struggle with lots of stuff going on. That's why I got into the stitching to begin with, because I like stitching. I was never an everyday stitcher, so it hasn't been a huge adjustment with the shop. But times when we had a teacher in this last weekend, we had Jeanette Douglas come in and do a two-day weekend class. Well, I'm busy with her, and we're going to dinner, and we're talking to people, and we're doing all these things. She's in class, and by the time I get done and she gets dropped off at the airport, that was a great weekend. It was a successful class. I always enjoy spending time with Jeanette. Oh yeah, I have a whole week's worth of paperwork to do now. Oh well, not stitching now.
Yep.
And certainly not whatever was taught either.
No, but I have the kit, so I can theoretically do that.
Oh, can we talk about her? Wow, I'd never heard of her. And her designs. She was a new one for me. It's like, holy smokes, got to get to know this lady. She's talented.
She is very talented. She's done, all kinds of things. And she's been teaching a class at Acorns and Threads. This was her 7th time coming here. She comes every 2 years, so look for a class 2020. Don't know what it is yet, but she does all kinds of specialty stitches. She's got a great color sense. She's designed several projects specifically for the shop and then gone on to release them to the public. This particular class she taught, it's kind of interesting. She designed it for us and for Stitchville, USA. The owner of that shop is a friend of mine, and we planned our retreats at about the same time frame, a week apart. And it was a surprise. Let's have a surprise project. We went first. We had it last weekend, and we had to impose a social media blackout because it wasn't fair to the Stitchville retreat attendees to get spoiled. They deserved to see it first as well. So we imposed a social media blackout. It was kind of interesting. We had a couple people, Michelle was one of them as well, who posted on Instagram black and white pictures or just a picture of the fabric. The black and white one, one of the attendees, Tasha, had posted that. And I like that because people started commenting, oh, I like the gray threads. That's really nice. And then once Stitchville had the retreat this past weekend, then they could start talking about it and start talking about how fabulous it was. Jeanette's going to keep this piece of teaching for a little while, and then she'll release it. Because it's just too good to not. It was beautiful.
Now, when you have your retreat, do you have a favorite place where you hold that? You don't hold that in the store, do you?
No, we don't have room in the store. I found a place. It's actually meeting spaces that we rent at the Oregon Bar Association. They have public meeting rooms. And we rent that. It's a nice location because of weekends. There's plenty of parking for the retreaters. It's not at a hotel, but there's plenty of hotels around that people can stay in from out of town. but the bar has really nice rooms, and you get to tell everyone that you're spending the weekend at the bar. Kajar. So we tend to use that for both classes and for retreats. We do something called spring or fall fling. And it's a no project. Come to the bar, spend the weekend at the bar, bring your stitching stuff. You can leave it. We give you little goodies. You get a couple of projects, but you don't have to stitch them. And we feed you really well and just generally have a really good time and get to spend the weekend at the bar.
That sounds good. I could work with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Come on out. We're talking about
Tempt me to go to Portland. I'd kill to get to the Northwest anytime. Yes.
Well, and the other thing about it is that the whole purpose of going is to stitch. So there's no feeling of, oh, there's something I should be doing. I should be throwing in a load of laundry. I should be raking leaves. I should be the nine other things that you should be, because the only thing you should be at that moment is stitching. So you can do it with no guilt.
Exactly.
I like that.
And a lot of times people will get a hotel room, and even though most of our flingers are local, they'll still get a hotel room and make it be a real retreat. Because there is no other, you're right, there's no other things you're supposed to be doing.
Oh, I can't even imagine what that'd be like. Just take off for a weekend, just forget everything.
Well,
it is like a real vacation.
It would. Next one scheduled November 3rd and 4th. Come on out.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I used to business travel. I used to get to Portland and or Seattle usually once a year for some kind of a conference, and then they've just kind of moved away from that area, and they just don't get out there very often at all. And Portland alone, just the Japanese Garden and the Rose Garden, mm-hmm. are beyond that. I don't care. Those mm-hmm. two. Yeah.
Yeah, those are really nice places to go. Multnomah Falls is yep. good to go visit. That's just, 30 minutes outside of town.
Yeah.
But I do tell people when they come to visit Portland, the two best places in all of Portland that you have to visit, one, of course, is Acorns and Threads. And they're there because I'm telling them this. And then the second place is Powell's Bookstore. Because if you're a reader, Powell's is a full city block of books.
Yeah, it's impressive. I went there once on someone's advice. Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the best advice I got for Portland from a salesman, he said, on the day you're going home, don't get an early flight. Get a late flight, then get up in the morning and drive to Multnomah Falls, and then make your way back on that old road and see all the falls on your way back to the airport, and then go to the airport and go home, and then you leave with a gorgeous memory of the nature that's out there. And he was right. It was terrific. Yeah.
That is a good way to do that. And then you're on the right side of town.
Yep.
And you won't get stuck in traffic.
Yep. Oh, it works perfect. It works perfect. It's a good send-off from Portland every time. Yep. Yep. So do you, in your shop, do you offer framing and finishing? And
I know
yep. we can call an order online. What is it, Complete Thing? Or how do you tell us about your shop?
We do framing and we do finishing. We do custom framing where I've got a selection of corner moldings. So you can pick out your framing, and then we order, batch it up, and we order the frames. And I've got someone who does the actual framing part of it. And I also have someone else who does soft finishing. So we'll do a bunch of different things. Anything cross stitch, we will finish. And the online ordering, email, or calling, I don't have a shopping cart because, man, I'd spend all of my time trying to put things on the website and off the website. And I really want to spend time with people. that's the fun part. And so call or email, and we can tell you either have it or we can get it or suggest where you can get it from. Sometimes I don't carry the stuff. I did have someone, my favorite phone call is someone asking me if I sold acorns by the pound or if it was by volume.
That's a fair question.
I thought it wasn't too far off, but no acorns. We do have quite the collection of acorns because people will give us acorns, which is just fabulous. Jeanette left me with a beautiful red painted with little gold balls around the cap, just a gorgeous acorn when she was here. So we've got lots of stuff, lots of fabric, lots of charts, lots of, we'll do a little, some beading projects, some peyote stitch beading. We've got a class coming up with that where we'll teach you, Lori shows you how to do peyote stitch. We just try and have lots of fun here.
What? Okay, I got to know, because that was a one I'd not heard of, peyote stitch. What's that all about?
It's just, peyote stitch is a form of beading where your beads don't go directly on top of each other. They kind of form more of a brick stitch, more of a brick pattern. For that, Fern Ridge is a designer that does a lot of peyote stitch fobs. They'll do cross stitch needle books and bags and little cases and things, and then they'll do peyote stitch scissor fobs to go with, and they're just fabulous. The things, it seems like an intimidating thing to do, but once you get the hang of it, it's not. It's really easy. And Lori has come up with a couple of designs to teach people how to do that, and then they're off and running.
Now, you have most shops are happy to have one day where people come in and stitch. And when I was getting this together here, I listed out, you have a sampler club, and I'm not going to say this right, but a Chatelaine club group. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Pacific right. Northwest Stitchers, an embroidery group, a free range stitchers, a Saturday stitching starts, and open stitch. Most people would be glad just to have the open stitch.
They all occupy. Yeah, the open stitch we do twice a month, where we do the first and the third Tuesday evenings from 4 to 8. So I tell people, bring a chair if you have one, because I have chairs, but I don't always have chairs for everyone. And we clear space in the middle of the shop, put up tables, and it's a great way to meet other people. We can have anywhere from 9 to 16 people stitching in the shop.
That sounds fantastic.
It's a great way to meet people. And then our sampler club is specifically, it's held Sunday from 11 to 1. And we have a pretty loose definition of samplers. Basically, it's a show and tell. And we'll pick a project. We'll occasionally pick a group project, and we'll all stitch on it in a slightly different take. Each of us will do maybe different colors, or we'll pick a designer and pick whatever you want. And when we figure that enough people have finished it or something else comes along, we'll pick a new thing. There's very little rules. It's mostly show and tell. Chatelaine group. The only rule on Chatelaine group, that's held one Thursday night a month from 4 to 8, usually the third Thursday, but not always. You have to be stitching on a piece by Chatelaine Designs. It was Martina Weber, I can't remember her married name. She passed away in December quite suddenly, but her patterns are still available. If you haven't seen Chatelaine, man, are those fabulous. Lots of beads, more of a mandala sort of design where they're four-sided, some all the same, some slightly different, and lots of beads. Specialty stitches, different colors. It's gorgeous. The only rule is you have to stitch on something by Chatelaine. And then that's a good group that enables each other, because once you see something, you need to do it. You just need it.
Well, every time I've seen one of those, they look, I don't know if this is the right word, but dense and complex. And when they're finished, they're spectacular.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, they're stunning.
They are, exactly. I finally, I've got a couple going myself. I've been working on one called Alhambra I started that the year I bought the shop, so 2005. And I haven't quite gotten halfway through. I'm a bit slow. I'm known for starting the top left corners of pieces and then moving on to the next.
Yes, another top lefter. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But Stadley and I started a rainforest quilt, which is something only available online. You buy the pattern online from chatelaine.de, I think it is, her website. And then I can supply all of the products, all the fabric and the threads. And that's when I can do a little piece at a time. So I have finished two squares. So I'll have to put those in the top left corner of the quilt. And then move on. Our Pacific Northwest Stitchers group is something that's relatively new. And that's the first Thursday afternoon. And that's another group. It started with some of the floss tubers, but really it's open to anyone in the Pacific Northwest from first Thursday from 1 to 5. And then usually Joe will film a little floss tube with who's there and what they're doing. And then last time we did a little questions with Janine.
Yes, you did well on that. That one seems like a thinly veiled excuse to go shopping at the needlework store.
Pretty much. Yes. Yeah. And your point is.
No, I think it's brilliant. I'm just saying that's what it seems like. No, I applaud the strategy. No.
Yeah, it makes it fun. It's always fun to see what people are working on and have a chance to talk to people who are doing the same thing you're doing. Our embroidery group and Free Range Stitchers are actually the same group. They just decided to name themselves something different on the first Friday morning and the third Friday morning. The only rule with that is they do charge for that group, because I've got a teacher here available to, it's $5 charge, available to answer questions. They people work on whatever they want to work on. And it's embroidery. I have needlepoint. People have knit, cross stitch, everything. They'll do everything. It's a group that tends to follow each other around, because it's again, it's a social activity. And then they started out trying to be, for Free Range Stitchers, they decided they wanted to do a Stacey Nash embroidery group. They were going to focus on designs from Stacey Nash. They liked that sort of primitive thing. And then before the 2 hours were up, they had zoomed over to, I think, Nikki's Creations and Brenda Gervais and Teresa Kogut. And then they said, you know, you guys are just all over the board. We're going to call you Free Range. Because you're just everywhere. And they were like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then our Saturday stitching starts. We start open. We do stitching on the patio is really what I like to call it. We have a little sidewalk in the front of the store that is a walkway, and it's covered by the walkway for the upstairs of the building. So it's a little covered patio area open to outside. So it officially is Memorial Day through Labor Day, weather permitting. Sometimes they'll come earlier, and we put tables out and stitch all day. I take the tables in at 5. People are welcome to stay, but the tables have to come in at 5 and I'm going home. But we've had
my 12 hours are up.
Exactly. We've had up to five tables of people stitching outside. and people come in the morning, they'll bring a lunch. Sometimes they'll go next door or next in the same parking lot as McMenamin's pub, which is really nice. We warn them. They look forward to Saturdays in the summer stitching because a lot of groups will go over and have lunch and then come back and stitch all day. It's a fun, another fun thing to stitch.
Oh, there you go, Christine. Think about that next Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Outdoors, well, fresh air, favorite beverage. Just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
I do not look in your sippy cups. You just have to be able to drive home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've often wondered about that. After the third martini, how does your stitching work out?
Well, after the third martini, you don't care.
Oh, okay.
But you do the next day. That's the problem.
When you have to rip some things out. I have some friends who've had what they call drinking projects. And
I like your friends.
Oh, yeah. You got to have that because you go away for a girls' weekend, you bring your stitching, you got to bring the alcohol, and you just have an easy project that you do.
Something very large. Mm-hmm. Small, not high thread count, right?
Right. Not high thread count.
Plastic canvas.
And something you can wash.
Yes.
I think something that you stitch for like your outdoor furniture kind of thing, like a pillow for your outdoor furniture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because it's already going to get wet. So, you know.
So it's okay.
Mm-hmm. And something burgundy, perhaps.
Or you switch to the white wine when you start.
Right. Or that. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's why vodka, tequila are usually good things to do as well.
I like this strategy.
Well, now there's a list we need to develop. Best alcoholic beverages for stitching. Yes. All right. Tequila, vodka, white wine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go. And it's right. So then we need a whole stitching cocktail list because it has to be things that if they spill are not quite everything. Right. Because that's right. The whole thing is if you spill red wine, the remedy is supposedly white wine. So just start with your remedy.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And then sometimes if you do spill and you can't get it out, you, always have to have a backup strategy, which can be as simple as putting a date on it that says 1845 and calling it an antique.
Mm. That's right. Mm. Spilling it all over the entire thing uniformly.
Mm-hmm. And then it looks like you planned it. You did that whole tea and coffee dye.
Exactly.
There's always strategies. You always have to be willing to go to plan B.
Okay, I got to get. I don't have anything else to give away. We're gonna have to have another contest now. Best drinking stitching strategies. I think. Yeah.
Well, you know, because it. All right. All joking aside, sort of. For many people, stitching is their way of relaxing, and for many other people, one thing they do to relax is to have a nice drink at the end of the day, and so those two groups of people are going to intersect. So there will often be, you know, the glass of something. And that's where the whole sippy cup joke came around because I, a long time ago, spilled a glass of Pinot Noir on an embroidery project I was working on. So now, yeah, we do need to have something that's nice and light.
Mm-hmm.
The clear alcohols, that's the key.
Okay, there's another thing to develop, another list to develop, drinking strategies and beverages. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, I'll put that together too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Yes. Do you find, are you seeing in the Pacific Northwest more younger stitchers? You know, we've talked several times on this show about developing young stitchers. Are you seeing younger generation people actively involved, or is it still mostly the folks like us?
The older people, not so old.
No, I'm not folks saying like older. I'm just saying folks like us. Yeah.
There, I am seeing some younger stitchers. I see folks like us bringing in their children or neighbors or friends, whatever. There's also a cycle, I think, of people going from craft to craft, that cross stitch is coming back into their radar again. They'll cycle between quilting and knitting, and then they're back to here. I'm seeing a lot of 20 and 30 year olds coming back, and I think a lot of that is the floss tube, is having people have found it and they thought they were the only ones, and then they're finding they weren't the only ones. There's a lot of people doing this. We have all ages, which is nice.
Yeah, as much as retailers disparage the internet and what it may or may not have done to their business, there is a positive side to it in the Facebook groups and FlossTube that have brought together people from all corners of the world and made communities out of them that would not have existed without the internet.
Right. And the internet, yeah, people despaired of what it was going to do to their business 20 years ago, but it's not going away. It's, you need to embrace it and figure out how to make it work, because it does bring stitchers together. It brings people together for all kinds of things. You get to talk to people who love the same things you love. They just don't happen. You're not doing it face to face necessarily. But I think FlossTube has one advantage, just based on what I've seen, and I'm a new person to FlossTube, that people tend to be nicer, I think, on FlossTube because they see the other person's face. Whereas some of the other groups where you don't see faces and maybe you don't know people, I think there's more, not a lot, but there's more of an opportunity to start jumping on people for saying the wrong thing or stitching the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing or whatever, that you don't see so much with FlossTube because it's more personal.
That's interesting. I mean, the Facebook groups that I'm in are pretty well policed for people saying mean things. So, I mean, that's one thing I've really enjoyed about the Facebook groups in particular is, mm-hmm. is in general, the approach to life is positive and encouraging, and the people who administer are pretty strict about it. And it really creates a nice place to go. When, you know, I look at Facebook, and I have weeded out so many, I just get so tired of all the political garbage. And mm-hmm. my news feed anymore is down to about 90% mm-hmm. stitching groups. And it's really so much more pleasant.
mm-hmm. Yes. Stitching groups tend to be more pleasant.
Yeah. It makes that Facebook visit worthwhile. If nothing else, I just cruise through and look at people's stitching and move on. And
Yes. All the different stitch alongs that people are doing. I love looking at those Facebook groups with the different stitch alongs, Frosted Pumpkin, or even, you know, Linen and Threads last year did that fabulous stitch along.
Yeah, it really, again, bringing together into communities people who just wouldn't encounter each other. And take people like Christine, you don't have a local shop and really don't know anybody locally, and it gives you a way to connect with people that otherwise you just simply wouldn't have. You'd either be on your own or you'd find a hobby somewhere else. And
Right.
You know. You don't want to find another hobby. Stitching is too much fun. Stabbing things.
Yeah, there's that, but then Christine and I have the multi-hobby disease problem, so
yes
There is always that, trying to find time for the stitching and the reading. And I tend to prefer the actual paper reading rather than the audiobooks, which would allow you to combine it.
Right. I was just going to say, you need to flip over to audiobooks and then double up. Yes. So do you get to stitch in the store much, or do you get moments there, or
No.
you don't even try?
No, there's too much to do. People who I have no idea how I could ever stitch while I'm working. I sometimes will sit at Open Stitch Group and have my stitching in front of me, but it's rare that I actually get to put any stitches in. And that's typical for me anyways in a retreat situation, but it's my job to make sure everyone is having a good time and involved in talking. So I can put my stitching in front of it, and occasionally I'll get two or three stitches in, but that's about it. Just bring in my latest top left corner and go on from there. Although I did just finish a project. I finished a hands-on design Christmas ornament project. I find sometimes the finishing is much easier if you start smaller instead of bigger.
Yeah, a lot of people keep both going. Yeah, little things. Yeah, that sense of accomplishment. Yes. So when it comes to, I'm always curious about the threads, because I find it, so much of your inventory gets is threads, I'm sure, probably certainly half of it. Is it, do you spend a lot of time checking out new threads? It seems like there's always somebody new dying or coming up with some color combination that no one else has. It's to me, it's really kind of developed into an interesting aspect of the hobby, where it seems like there's a lot of people that's become their hobby, their stitching hobby, is figuring out threads. Do you spend a lot of time chasing down threads?
No, I'm always interested in seeing new threads. I'll look at stuff if someone shows me it or I hear something about it. One of my distributors is carrying something new. But I spend enough time trying to keep the current threads in stock that it's kind of more important. But I'm open to looking at whatever people are looking at. It is fun to see different color combinations, different fabrics, different threads.
When you have something like DMC's introduction of new colors, do you see a real surge in activity because of that, or do most people just kind of take that in stride?
No, that did create a big surge. I think DMC might have been a little taken by surprise with that because they announced it and then we couldn't get it. It came in very much dribs and drabs. But people have been thrilled with it. They're great new colors. They did a nice little display rack for them because the new 35 new colors are in the beginning of the numbers. They did 1 through 35. So trying to integrate it with my existing inventory would have been a lot more work, but I could just put it on a new fixture and have everyone look at it. People really liked it, and I got lots of orders for people wanting the whole set. Just give me the set. So, okay, it's great colors. And then it takes a little while for designs to start coming out for it. But Samsara did a design that used all 35 of the new colors. So they'll start getting used more and more. But we kind of like to sub things in here anyways. So there have been a couple of projects I was trying to match an overdyed to a DMC, and we pulled those colors in because it worked pretty well.
The pieces I've seen where they've used the new colors, they really do seem to be nice.
They picked some good ones.
I've resisted just going out and buying them just to own them. So,
No, resistance is futile, Gary.
yeah, I don't know if I
Eventually.
need the tin, but I'd like to have. I think I'd like to have the colors just for fun.
Yeah. The colors are very, very nice to have. I agree.
Yeah, I've struggled with that. I was thinking about that the other day. I saw some thread and I thought, wow, that'd be fun to own, just to have. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, then practical side, but for what? And then the other side said, well, because. So
exactly.
Just to look at.
There's that whole, it's part of our hobby consists of several underlying hobbies. Part of it is stitching. Part of it is collecting and just having. And part of it is organizing.
Yes. I actually have fun organizing. Like when my threads are a disaster, just sitting down and putting them all in order. Like there's some great pleasure in doing that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You at least get to pet the colors and just appreciate them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I think I need to do some organizing because I'm at that point where if I think I'm pretty sure I have a color, but then I can't find it. It was the other day. My phone app that says what DMC colors I have said that I had three colors. I had a skein of each of three colors. I couldn't find them. I have no idea. I'm sure they're in a bag for a kit somewhere. Couldn't find them. And it got to the point where I'm just going to go buy three skeins because
I have no idea. It's not worth the time. Yeah. It's not worth the time. And there's just something nice about kitting up a project with new skeins, that fresh smell of a new skein of DMC.
Well, maybe that's what it is. I'm addicted to the new fresh smell of a skein. Okay.
Exactly.
As long as I identify the problem, I don't care. You know, it's just knowing what the problem is.
Right.
But it does drive me nuts that I have it marked down that I own those skeins and can't find them. I don't know.
And then there's always the person who can never find 310 black anywhere. She's bought, I don't know, 10, 12, however many skeins over the years and can never find them. Always has to buy a new skein.
Just buy a box of them.
I get around that. I just buy five of them at a time.
She decided to go to silk. She bought MPI silk black and then figured that's a little more incentive to keep to know where that is.
Right, to not lose them.
What is MPI silk? I've not seen anybody selling it, but I haven't really looked. But I've several people talk about that. Is that must be a really nice silk?
It is a nice silk. It's a solid silk that is color fast and washable. I used that. It's not the same, but it's kind of the same as a Varissois of the Soie d'Alger solid silk. So we carry the full line of the MPI. Oops, here's my phone. Carry the full line of the MPI, and then I order in the Averroes because there's just not enough room for everything. But I've been pulling in more and more Averroes.
Yeah. That must be the MPI rep calling.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Yeah. So
what
silk
is the advantage?
My favorite. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, what's the advantage of the MPI over the Averroes then for you?
Just that it's color fast.
So basically you can drink more, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a fair advantage. That's why I'm to ask.
Mm-hmm. They're all
It's right on the brochure. Use our thread, drink more. Yeah.
Drink more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's good colors. I intermix everything because for me, it's more about the color. It's not necessarily about the brand. So I prefer to stitch with silk. But I'll mix all the different brands of silk. And then I like the cottons as well. And I'll mix cotton in with silk. It's all texture and color.
That's interesting. I get the sense that mixing and matching is what you do. Whereas a lot of people will say only silk for me. And
well, you can't always get the colors. There are times that you want to do a project that has a range of colors And DMC and Anchor have the best color range. You're just not going to find the same ranges in any of the other lines. But I like to change the colors of projects, and it's all about kind of finding what works well with each other.
Are your customers doing more finishing of their own projects? Is that becoming something where people are losing their fear of finishing?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I think people either are fine with finishing, either losing their fear or want to do some things on their own, or my opinion was always I'm much better at stitching than I am finishing, so I'm quite happy to pay someone else to do that, and then I can stitch more.
I mean, I think that for a lot of people, that is the approach. There, you fix it. I sometimes wonder if it's just a fear of I did all this stitching, and now if I try to finish it, I might ruin it, so I chicken out. And just,
Somewhat,
yeah.
somewhat, but then it's a whole finishing can be a different skill set where you either use a sewing machine, which not everyone has or has access to, and you don't want to do it by hand, which it's perfectly acceptable, doing it either way. But I had a point and then I lost it. Sorry.
That's okay. Well, one of the things that stood out for me with Jeanette Douglas was that wooden box with the trays that wow, what a creative thing. She's got, for those who don't know, she's got somebody in Wisconsin who makes this wooden box with trays that are subdivided, and then she's created little elements that all go together and make up a tray. What she has a one was a sea. It was like a
Mermaid.
starfish and a mermaid or something, and I thought it was really creative.
She is very creative on that. She's got four different tray boxes, patterns, and supplies available to go in the trays. There's a mermaid, there's a pumpkin patch with pumpkins, there's a bird box, which has a peacock on it, and there's a journey box, which has balloons and has the words bon voyage, which I like to say is bon voyage. And then you can get the trays, and then you put them into a turntable box where you can fit five and put one on the top and then interchange them. Because realistically, how many little tray boxes do you have room to fit around your house or next to your sewing nest? It's just one more thing to collect dust. But if you put them in a box where you have them all there, you can rotate the ones you want to look at, the one you want to look at on the top, and change them out. So I had, when I had her here last weekend, we had a trunk show, and I had the models for the mermaid box and the voyage, the journey box. And she taught the bird box here a couple of years, several years ago. And I've had the pumpkin patch box. So we all took, I took signups for people who want that, and I'm doing a quarterly auto. Because it can get to be, you can buy the pattern, and there's Jeanette does a thread pack and she does a wool pack. So you don't have to go buy full skeins of everything, or go buy lots of wool to do these little biscornu and pin cushion, little needlebook and scissor. It holds a little teeny scissor to go in the little tray parts. And it can become spendy, but I can keep track of it, and they can get it once a quarter and know that it's gonna be in the mail, and they don't have to think about it. They can get everything done in time for the next one. But I love those, the turntable. I had seen that at Nashville, for the first time, and I was just thrilled that it turned. Pretty cool.
Who had that at Nashville? Because I didn't see that.
It was in Cabron Mary Woods. They're the ones that do the trays, the wood products out of Wisconsin. And they managed to rush me one for the weekend so I could have it, because they're still busy working away on their orders from Nashville so that I could take orders on it. So they did a really nice job on all of that. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was just a neat way of, okay, here's a box. How can I design things to go in it? At least that's the way I was reading it. And I thought that was just really creative, starting with the finishing project and then what can that be?
And that's an example where finishing, she walks you through the finishing, and it's not that hard. You can do that.
Do make the little pincushions and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Right.
It's just really creative, yeah. And then you can start to see, and once you start that, all the various holidays and seasons, I mean, that's kind of a never-ending opportunity to stitch little small items.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you can use the trays as little jewelry boxes. So you can have the turntable box and stitch a couple trays and then have an extra tray for some stitching tools or some favorite jewelry that you want near you. The possibilities are endless.
Yes. Yes. So do you have a place at home where you stitch, or
do
you
just... I do.
Oh, a special place. Okay.
Oh, I got to have my end of the couch. The cat sits on the other side of the couch next to me. I've got my Stella light, and I have a couple of little tables that have all of my current projects or stash that are future projects that I may or may not have kitted up yet. And let's see, what am I going to stitch on tonight? Always got to have a stitching nest.
Yes. Yes. And that's
fun to see.
That's in front of the TV or?
Yes. In front of the TV.
All right.
It's always nice to see how other people do their stitching, their little stitching places as well.
Mm.
You both have one. I
get asked that a lot. What do people have for a setup? Because everybody seems to be curious about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always fun to see what other people do and think of other ways to get more stuff near me so I don't have to get up.
Yes. Well, that's the worst. You sit down and you get ready and then you realize you forgot something and then you get up and it takes 4 or 5 times before you are actually ready.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By then you've, you know, forgotten where you were going to start or the show's over and you've got to pick another show. Yeah.
Yep. All right, Jeanette, I think, or Janine, geez.
We were talking about Jeanette for
yes,
too long.
I have to say, when I had never heard of her, and I'll just say it again, I was really amazed at her design. She really does nice work.
She does cruises. She travels around the world for stitches, for classes, and she really is very creative.
All right, Janine, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks for making time on your day off, too. Yes.
Yeah, on my day off, my 12 hours.
12 hours.
Mm-hmm. Where I'm at the shop doing some, getting all the special orders organized, and I've got some orders to do when we're done.
All right.
Because it's my 12 hours.
Even on the day this shop is closed, it's 12 hours, yeah. Yes.
Makes it easier because then I don't have to answer the phone, and I can get stuff done. Because on the days we're open, that's what I'm here for, is to answer the phone.
Yes. All right. Thanks. Enjoyed it.
Yes. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks to everyone for listening. And Christine and I will be back on Wednesday.